Is that where you deserve to be shot?
No. Okay, so we've just been on the list. So welcome, everyone.
We'll call this meeting to order. Thank you all for being here. This is kind of an exciting meeting. It's not that we haven't had good meetings before, but this is exciting because we have a new director. And by golly, if you look at this agenda, he is ready to go to work. He is going to work. So we're going to get into doing some real, honest to goodness business today. So we welcome Alan officially as our executive director. And he's heard me say this before. I know Lieutenant Governor has said the same thing. We are incredibly fortunate to have him and his skill set and his experience helping lead this this enterprise. And so welcome officially. So we're going to give you some time, Alan, but would you like to say something to the group in your now your official capacity?
Well, yeah, thank you. I appreciate very much the opportunity to be working in this capacity. It's been an interesting several weeks, and lots of meetings. Maybe if I could just, is it appropriate now to talk a little bit about some of the things you learned? First of all, I don't know if any of you saw it, but there was an article in the Utah Business Magazine this month about entrepreneurs intentionally stranding themselves on desert islands. And I was in that article because a couple of months ago I went with a couple of friends and we took a little sailboat and sailed to a deserted island in the Bahamas and spent a few days just kind of surviving it. So it was one of those things where we went to unfamiliar territory, had certainly insufficient resources by design, didn't take any food with us, and from my perspective it was kind of, there was a lot at stake. I had to get back to my family. We ran into some unexpected problems. The guy that knew what he was doing got really sick, the sickest he'd been in his life. We had
a podcast if you want to listen to it with the guy who got sick talking about it.
It's
crazy.
And then we had sharks that invaded our fishing territory, and so I had to eat termites instead. But at the end of the day, it was really a good experience, mostly because of the people I was with. And you know, I thought, maybe there's a little similarity here, where we're heading off in uncharted waters, trying to figure out how we're going to make this happen, not knowing quite what's around the corner. We definitely will face some challenges along the way. But the chance to be working with all of you, people that I trust and like, in an important endeavor, where there's a lot at stake, is a good thing. So I'm looking forward to that. In the past several weeks, I think
this one's not nearly as interesting or chaotic.
I hope it doesn't show up in the
There may be sharks.
There may be sharks.
That's
it.
At least I've got water here and no termites. So I've had about 70 meetings with cities, counties, legislators, business organizations, community groups, schools, on and on and on. And I've heard some consistent themes through all that. One is, first of all, there's general support for this. When people recognize that there's potential value, want to see it done, want to see it done right. And so that's encouraging. I didn't hear anybody say, don't do this, we're going to fight it. But there are a couple of concerns that came up frequently. The number one, by far, and to nobody's surprise, is traffic. So they don't want us to create a bottleneck in a bottleneck and make things worse in an area that's already experiencing some challenges. And the second was mostly from surrounding communities and kind of a distant second, was some concern about competition. Whether we might be competing for economic development or causing some retail leakage from nearby communities, et cetera. And I think those are all things that we can deal with. One thing I heard was that the state needs to ensure that this project creates some social benefits as well as economic benefits. And so they said, consider the region, not just this site. Of course, we have every intention of doing that. They want the state to stay involved long enough to ensure that the vision is accomplished, that we can create some public good on this site, not just sell it off quickly to the highest bidder. At the same time, I heard several suggest that the state should not hold on to this forever. That, you know, once we accomplish the goals as best we can, that it ought to be turned over in some form. I've heard all of those things consistently. And then they really like the notion of the state creating the model development, if you can, something that others can look at and emulate. So as I've listened to people, thought about it, there are a few priorities that come to mind, and again, they're no surprise. And you'll see many and most reflected on the agenda today. Number one is making sure that we've got good organizational stability, that we are meeting legal requirements, that we've got policies in place that give some rigor to what we do, that you know, we've got legal support we need, staffing, political relationships, and that we've got, I think importantly, public relationships, not just public relations, but public relationships that are real and based on trust. Second is transportation. Transportation system is going to be the armature around which this project is built. And there's some real complexities and challenges with trying to get the right infrastructure identified and built, and we'll talk about that a little bit today. Another, I think, fairly early priority is figuring out what the role of the state and the Point of the Mountain State Land Authority is on this site. How long are we going to be involved, and what role? And a lot of that will depend on what's happening in the market. So that's something that has to happen fairly soon. Essentially looking at ways that we as a state can maximize benefits to the public and minimize risk. Fourth is vision, design, what's going to happen at this site? I think we've got to figure that out fairly quickly for a few reasons. One, there's just a lot of questions out there about it. It'd be nice to answer those questions. One is that we just need to generate enthusiasm. And if people can see something that's exciting, then there's going to be some enthusiasm and momentum created that will allow us to move ahead. And then finally, and certainly not the least, it's just focusing our planning. We know where we're going, we're going to be able to target what help we need, what the time frame will be, et cetera. And then finally, and a little bit further down the road, identifying the development model, where partners are going to be, and how we can start construction. So that's probably more than enough, but those are the very general thoughts that I've had as I've been talking to people over the last couple of months.
Thank you, Alan. I don't know whether you all saw the article that came out in the Deseret News, I believe on Saturday, is that right? Maybe Friday?
Was it yesterday?
I've lost track of time, it's going by me too quickly. A great article on the work of this board, specifically on the Point of the Mountain Authority, and a great coverage and quotes by Alan and also by Mayor Walker. And what was it you were saying, Mayor? It's nice to have a little bit of good press.
Yes.
It is, isn't it? It's refreshing. Anyway, So, Alan, thank you for being here, and thank you for passing the survival test that Lieutenant Governor and I put together.
The farther away from it again, the more fun it was.
So, with that, let's launch into agenda. The first item on the agenda is approve minutes of two meetings, May 14th, 2019, and June 17th, 2019. We'd entertain, entertain a motion.
I would move for approval.
Thanks, Representative Hanning. Motion is that we approve minutes of both meetings. Any discussion on that?
I do.
on the May minutes. The paragraph that starts, the Lieutenant Governor indicated that the subgroup tasked with selecting final candidates for the executive director position has... So, I just don't know what he did. That seems like there's some missing information there that ought to be in there before we approve these minutes.
So, I need
not to be too picky.
But someone that has minutes, can you comment on that, Tyler, or maybe Kristen? That's the May 14th?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me again.
You'll see it's just to the left of number three, Executive Director Selection Policies. Just says the Lieutenant Governor said the candidates has...
What you're noting is there's a... looks like there's a gap there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gap
there.
Yeah.
I think it was that at this point it would have been underway.
So we might just solve that problem by striking that
paragraph.
And that
would be fine
with
me.
I'm not sure how... But on the other... I would just hate to have...
Yeah. Do you recall? I don't.
I think it has been meeting with candidates. Is this the one where we proposed who comes before the
I believe so. I think we're still working on process
has narrowed
procedure.
Down to the
that's
final
right.
candidates.
That's,
and we are
yes.
now ready to propose them.
No, that's fine. My question would be like, maybe we don't approve these, approve the June 14th one, and either strike that paragraph or add that language to these minutes.
I think the mayor's can help us add that language right now.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Lieutenant Governor indicated that the subgroup tasked with selecting final candidates for the executive director position has narrowed the field to the two final candidates to be presented before the full board.
Tyler, we've got that okay?
Yes, sir.
So, Representative Handy, do you want to amend your motion?
Yeah, I would amend my motion to incorporate that additional copy.
Very good. So the motion now before
sorry,
us, amended motion.
I just noticed on the June minutes on the second page, about three quarters of the way down, you've got a similar situation.
Formatting issue.
Do you have an idea or use the proposed language?
It's just cut off.
Is that on the first page?
This is on the second page.
Three quarters of the way down.
But the executive director would.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Well, the executive director would.
Yeah, that's okay. I wonder if that was just a formatting issue.
Do you have a reference, Tyler?
I could probably pull it up, but.
Is Jill here?
Yeah.
Can you help us out there?
If I can locate it.
I'm sure everyone can remember what they said.
What did you say? June 17th at 5 o'clock.
I know. On the call.
So I'm going to make a suggestion.
Yeah, go ahead.
My suggestion is that we put a period after the word strategy. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
And that we delete the rest, or actually, just in handy, that would be my
recommendation. That's an acceptable amendment.
So, with that change, those changes being made to the text of the minutes of both meetings, motion is that we approve. Now, any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Motion
aye.
Carries. Thanks, April. Motion carries, and the minutes are approved as amended. Continuing with the agenda and business, we have kind of a new item on the agenda, public comment, and that's going to be consistent with the new policy conducting our meetings that you'll be presenting. And so we're getting off on the right foot, and we have a few members, I suppose, of the public, some are staff, but anyone care to comment, make a public comment? Not seeing any hands, we will move forward. Next item is the board meeting schedule, and with that, we'll turn the time to our director, Alan.
Well, we talked about how it would be helpful for everybody to have a little heads up on meeting schedule, and I know there are members of the public that would like to know in advance when these meetings will be. So you have in your packet a proposed meeting schedule. Meetings occurring on the third Thursday of every month. These are dates that work for our co-chairs, and Tyler's great in finding some times that might work. So we wanted to present those to you and see if those dates work for the rest of the board.
What time?
Yeah, we're talking about doing it about the same time.
2:30 on the Thursday.
If we could do 2 to 3:30, so slightly earlier than our meeting today. That's the time I have reserved.
Discussion on that item?
Are you really happy with the third Thursday?
You're very happy with that?
No.
You're
I'm
not,
sure you
no,
are.
He's not. He's wondering, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure this is opposite for you, Representative Snow, but the third week of the month just becomes so inconvenient because it's so interrupted by legislative meeting days anyway. That to take another day out of the work week for part of, on the other hand, for you, it's like, oh, I'm already up here. This is so great.
Right.
But
so
I would prefer the fourth.
Is the third week typically or does it shift between second?
No, it's
the
third.
Always
week. It's always the third.
So that's makes kind of a
okay. Yeah. So you're right, Lincoln. Thank you.
So the fourth Thursday is what you...
Well, I mean, that's my preference, but...
No, that's... Yeah. So, what about that proposal?
So this is April. The fourth Thursday is going to cause us problems, obviously, for November and December, so we'll only get one more meeting in this year. Is everyone okay with that? Maybe we should have it consistent from January forward and try to squeeze in a couple of meetings fourth quarter, because Thanksgiving and Christmas will completely...
That's true.
...mess that up.
I'm going to mess that up too. And the fourth Thursday is always when we have Wasatch Front Regional Council Board meeting. And I represent the Utah River Cities and Towns on the WFRC.
Yeah.
Sure.
How does fourth Tuesday work?
Let's see.
You'll kind of have the same problem in that would be fourth Tuesday. Christmas Eve.
I think the fourth Tuesday starting, let's see, I'm looking at January, that does not conflict with Martin Luther King holiday. It does not conflict with President's Day holiday. So the fourth Tuesday, January forward, sounds really good going forward. But I think for November and December, we should just pick 3 days, maybe earlier in the month because we have massive holidays. Just try to get as many people as we can.
So, no matter what we pick, there's going to be a conflict with the session.
Like you say, I think that conflicts with the legislature.
Fourth Tuesday does?
Well, any day would conflict with the legislative session.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
February.
January, February, March. But if we hold it in this building, it's probably maybe doable. It depends on who we want to rob of our presence.
Well, I think April makes a good point, and but it's not unusual at all that we take off the month of December. I'm guessing that we could defer business in December to January. And the way Alan has put together this meeting schedule and some of the discussions I had with him, these are recommended, but they're not set in stone.
Right, we could always... Yeah. Move them as needed. Is the second Thursday? I think the most important people here are you three, and we'll never find the time that will work for everybody.
That's
true. I think we find the time when the chairs and Alan can be here, and as many as possible on the other, and then we just make do with what we can.
Second Tuesday for you.
Second Tuesday or second Thursday?
Tuesday better.
Second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday generally is good. Generally, Snow never knows for a certain one.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
But that's a good suggestion. How about that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. So,
beginning in January?
No, I mean, starting in October.
I agree.
So, yeah, we're good.
Second Tuesday starting in October works for me, too.
Any hard objections to that?
If you would all like to celebrate my wedding anniversary with me next month, I'm
done.
Yeah, we'd like to.
I'll be here.
We'd like to. We will do that.
Yep. Okay. Bring your husband and we'll have a little party.
You're very romantic.
Yes, I'll be great. Yeah, I'll second you.
Okay. Okay,
is that your motion?
That's my motion.
The motion is that we schedule our meetings beginning in October of 2019 on the second Tuesday of every month. It's a proposed meeting schedule, modified as needed. That's your motion.
From 2 to 3:30 p.m.?
We that first one, I'll just specify, we may need to hold at 3. If that's okay, we've got some pretty important interviews with the governor, but from there on out, it should be okay. So,
you send those out, Alan?
Yes. That'd be great.
That's the motion. Any discussion on the motion? You have a second on the motion?
Second.
Second by Mayor Walker. By the way, sometimes I don't call for a second because in our legislative committees, we don't get a second. We don't change. So you'll forgive me if I forget to do that. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries, and that takes care of that. So, Alan, you're the man of the hour. We'll move on to the next item.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to have one room over here, but one of those kind of boring but very important elements that we need to address is liability insurance for the board and staff moving forward. We did get a letter from risk management saying that state risk management could not cover us. So that leaves, I think, a couple of options. One is that we change the statute and indicate that risk management will cover this board. And that's an option. But the other is that we get some outside insurance. And I think the consensus is that the Utah Local Government Trust is the best option there. It's a government entity. They don't make a profit. If they bring in more than they spend, they pass it back to the members. It's much less expensive than other private options. They've given us a couple of options. One is for $2 million of coverage, and the other is for $5 million of coverage. Couple of things that I'll point out. One, a little context. They told me that in their history, they've had fewer than 10 claims between 2 million and 5 million, although more of those happened recently. And so it's rare that there's anything above 2 million, and they've never had one above 5 million. So that's a little context. The second piece is, in these two proposals, they did not give us a quote for workers' comp, which is required by statute unless we were to pursue an exemption, and it's pretty questionable whether we'd be able to do that. It's usually for sole proprietorships, things like that. I was pressing, and they gave me a quote today and said that to include the required workers' comp, it would be an additional $3,070
annually.
So for the $2 million of coverage, it's $2,900 annually plus the $3,070. So just take under $6,000. For the $5 million of coverage, it's $1,000 more, $3,900 for the liability and for the errors and omissions, and then the additional $3,000 change for workers' comp. So those are the options that we've tracked down and we present here.
What
are your plans?
Senator?
This is April. I have a question. How come that workers' comp rate seems so high when usually it's just based on salaries for the year?
No, I asked that too.
Like for my company, I give them what my employees are paid, and then they kind of assess what type of work they do. Like, they sit at a desk or we just go do real estate inspections, like out on the road a little. And I think through workers' compensation on WCS, it's like $300 or $400 a year. And so that's like $3,000. And so far, we just have you on payroll, right? So is that through WCS or who's it through?
Yeah, that's the amount that anybody would charge because it's based on a formula. And I asked the same question. He said his initial estimate was that it would be no more than $500 because they classify my position as clerical. But when they went through and checked with the national organizations and went through the process, it's in a different category. And
okay.
I can't tell you much more than that, but the formula that they had, they checked it twice. They checked it locally as well as nationally, and that's the result.
They must assume we're going to throw you up on scaffolding or something.
Never mind. Senator.
Is the authority subject to governmental immunity?
I haven't done the specific analysis, but very likely it is.
If it is, then our liability is capped at $2 million, and I'd say we should go with the $2 million policy.
That's right.
If it's not, then I think I would move to go with the $5 million.
That's a good question.
Well, we've kind of assumed that it is, but
okay.
Keep in mind, and I think it's really important, keep in mind that governmental immunity generally relates to tort-type issues, but not administrative land use issues, land use planning issues, breach of contract issues. You're on your own on those. And I still think that's a good point. And we haven't launched into any of that yet, and that's downstream, but something to keep in mind. The only reason I know that is representing some cities, we've seen claims far in excess of that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you're right. More questions for Alan, anyone? So, Alan, your recommendation?
Well, ideally, it would be covered by risk management and just make that change. But in the meantime, I think that the $2 million is probably sufficient.
Okay.
With the workers' comp.
Any further questions of Alan?
So, Alan, is there, then, are you proposing that there is a legislative amendment, or you're just throwing that out to see if someone bit?
That's the trial balloon.
To see if someone bit.
Before we talk, we really need to investigate what the legislative change would. That may start a tidal wave that we have trouble putting back where it needs to be.
It's within the independent corporations code, and so it would be. It's more of a global. But the Corporations Code does contemplate a entity-specific code that expressly permits coverage by risk management. So you could look at both.
So if you look at that, then do we automatically would we have to cover all the authorities, or would we? Because we have others in the state of Utah.
We have other independent public corporations.
Right,
that's correct. So I mean, that would be for legislative council, but I think there is the option to do both. You could do the global change in the Independent Corporations Code or expressly permit coverage under the authority statute.
If you did the global, I think it puts less spotlight on the authority. But
is that open the door to, is that
kind of
is it a hard sell? Is that?
But for today, for our discussion, I would entertain a motion. I would recommend a motion to authorize Alan to pursue coverage in the amount that you agree with him, the amount that he's indicated. Anyone care to make that motion?
I'll make it.
Thank you, Senator Fillmore. The motion is that you authorize him to pursue coverage on behalf of the authority with a $2 million limit, as he's discussed.
And for workers' compensation.
And for workers' compensation included.
I would second that.
Thank you. Seconded by Senator Stevenson. All in favor? Any discussion on that motion? All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Thanks, Alan, and we'll let you continue the next item. I guess we all know, and you should know, that all of this is laying foundation. It's kind of tedious work, but it's important that we get all of this in line so we can move forward. So, and that Alan can move forward with confidence.
So you received in your packet last week copies of proposed policies for the board. Some are probably more relevant and important than others, but this kind of serves, these policies kind of serve as the bylaws of the organization, give us a foundation on which to operate so that can't be questioned about the rigor of our approach. So I've outlined several potential policies. I can go through those individually if you want, or we can look at them as a group, and then I can answer any questions you have. Let me just mention a little bit about each of those. The code of conduct, I'll step back and say, for the most part, these are not developed out of thin air. I'm basing these on GOED's policies, on policies of other state agencies, and tailored those to this organization. Code of conduct includes all of the harassment pieces, the standards that we expect of employees, and how they relate to members of the public, and so forth. So it's really taking the details of PHRM rules and putting them into a policy. These are very similar to policies that most state agencies have. So as you can see in there, general code of conduct, abusive conduct prevention, substance abuse, workforce harassment, management responsibility. The conduct of board meetings. This is sort of an outline of how we might proceed in our board meetings, giving the public an opportunity to present and comment as they wish, and just give some structure to public involvement for the most part. This is based on work that's been done by the Inland Board and others, so it's been approved there. The authorized personal use of public property, that title may be a little confusing, and I think it creates some concern, but the background on that is last year the legislature passed HB 163 that added penalties to state workers that inappropriately use public resources for private use. And including, in certain circumstances, making it a felony. That created some angst among state agencies. There's a lot of discussion among the executive branch about how to respond to that. Part of the legislation said that if an employee acts consistently with a policy of the agency for whom that employee works, that there's protection. So, to protect the agency employees, the Attorney General's Office, DHRM, put together a model policy that outlines to what extent you can use your computer to check what the weather's gonna be, something along those lines. I've taken that model language that's used by the agencies and just tailored it here with no substantive changes. But I don't know, Chris, do you want to
100%? That was a good summary. The modifications in HB 163 were to the criminal code, and so this just outlines exactly what is appropriate, what isn't. This is a model policy and nothing specific to this entity. It's government-wide.
Just wanted to make sure that we had clarification so that ambiguity can be a problem when the penalties are significant. So certainly support the notion that we shouldn't be using public resources for public or for private advantage. And we try to capture that balance here. Gift policy and standard for stakeholder interaction. I know we're gonna have, and already have had, a number of entities that would like to do business with this this authority. So we wanted to set up some ground rules for that. So all are treated equally, and there's no question that we're playing favorites. So this kind of sets up some standards that we'll meet with anybody who wants to. We won't make any commitments outside of formal procurement processes. We'll keep a record of those meetings we meet with and when. And it also adopts the essentially the governor's gift policy. The state law allows state employees to receive gifts up to $50. We're just going to say, or I'm proposing that we say no gifts at all. Nobody takes me out to lunch, except for those de minimis things that are outlined in this policy. Data protection, I don't think this is something that we're going to run into. So maybe it's a little overkill, but it's essentially protecting private information that comes into the hands of government. So sometimes you get databases with private information, social security numbers, others. And so we need to be rigorous in protecting that information, and this policy sets up those standards. Again, I don't see that happening. I don't see us having to deal with that, but maybe it's a little overkill. Internal controls, just ensuring that we have in place a description of how we're going to control information, how we're going to operate so that there's oversight, so no individual is making decisions about payments and reimbursement, but there's always a second set of eyes on that. And this, again, is based on the co-ed policy. And finally, system service acquisition. That has to do with IT systems. There's concern about going and bringing in IT software or systems that could interfere with statewide security. So there are programs and policies and approaches in place to ensure that there's a review before we brought software in. Again, I don't think that's something that's going to be a big deal. Most of that will be reviewed by GoHead anyway, but it's a little belt and suspenders. So that's the overview.
Thank you. Alan, questions? Anyone
on the data policies, Chris, with the same grandma rules apply as applied to our other things. We're request right now on the inland port about companies that may have been contacted, et cetera. I mean, guess we'll get some of the same things protected there.
I mean, and that's a great reminder. Under our code, we are expressly subject to the Government Records Access and Management Act. So just bear in mind that in your capacity as board members, any record that you create is subject to a grammar request. Whether or not we provide it would be a determination you make at the time.
Right.
But emails, text messages, just be
good old fashioned phone calls are really nice.
They're not records.
They're not records.
Don't keep information.
At least not yet.
Yeah. Senator, did you have a question or comment? Further comments or questions on these policies?
Just that I think they're well done. Thank you.
And I will say, I noticed today that the formatting changed a little bit in the transmittal review, and so the substance of it.
This represents a lot of work, Alan, so thank you. And it gets us off on the right foot. I'm assuming that we'll find a place as a repository for keeping these all and making them official and available.
Yes.
All right. we have a motion. We could take one at a time on a motion, or as an agenda item under number six, we can handle them together.
I move that we approve the proposed authority policies, including code of conduct, conduct of board meetings, authorized personnel use of public property, gift policy, and standards for stakeholder interaction, data protection, internal controls, and system service acquisition.
Thank you, Mayor Ramsey.
Second.
The motion is that we approve all of the items listed under number six, all of those policies, and it's been seconded by Mayor Walker, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Discussion on the motion. Any discussion? Call for a vote. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, April. Motion carries unanimously. Thanks again, Alan. Let's move on to the next item, which is to discuss the authority procurement code. And again, Alan,
I'm sorry.
Give me a break.
No, listen, all of us, I think, would just love to start talking about the amusement park we're going to put in at that point. I'm sorry, you have to go through a lot of this boring stuff.
This is the amusement.
It's important.
Awesome.
You had authorized me through a delegation of authority to develop a procurement policy for this organization. We're not subject by statute to the procurement code, but I know we need to make sure that we're operating in a way that's above board, that's transparent, that's objective. And so there needs to be some rigor, I think, in how we handle procurement. We've had some conversations. I've talked to Chris about it. We've looked at what others have done, had conversations with the Division of Purchasing. And Chris has put together some thoughts on how we might proceed. And so, with your permission, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Thank you. So, as Executive Director Mattson mentioned, we are not subject to the procurement code. However, as a governmental entity, the process has to be open, transparent, non-arbitrary. The Division of Purchasing has courtesy services that they provide to procurement units throughout the state. And those are very helpful because they can assist at any level that we require, from a minimum of simply using their public portal to post the RFP. And then it escalates from there. And they are willing to help and assist. I think using that process provides a significant level of transparency. It allows us to, in good faith, say that the public has received notice of our requests for vendors. In addition to that process, I discussed with Alan that the solicitations will remain open for a minimum of 5 business days. Of course, we'll comply with the delegation of authority that Alan mentioned. If you recall from the last meeting, what that does is it creates thresholds where if the contract will be over $50,000, it will require final selection, will require a board vote. From $5,000 to $50,000, there must be a competitive process, and then below $5,000 allows discretion. So I have developed just a brief. In addition to the open process, I've developed a brief conflict of interest ethics standard, which Alan will send out as we engage in RFPs. I think that's a couple of agenda items down on the list. But there are a few that I believe we hope that Alan hopes to receive authorization to engage in. So he will send out that policy as those RFPs are sent out. When the authority chooses to conduct interviews, small non-quorum bodies of this board will interview applicants using pre-formulated questions. And just so you're all aware, in compliance with the Open and Public Meetings Act, the closed portion of the meeting can be used to discuss applicants, but only insofar as it addresses the character or professional competence of the vendors or the individuals, you know, providing the services or the companies.
So, end of vote, sorry.
Not a land transaction?
There are some additional protections in the of land transactions. Thank you for pointing that out. In the near future, that won't be a basis for closing the meetings, but it certainly will be down the road. Mm-hmm. And then the final vote must take place in the open meeting, so that the closed meeting reopen, and then the final vote will take place.
Chris, what's the point of the questions being prepared in advance? Do those need to be made public?
So the pre-formulated questions provides a standard so that you're treating each of the applicants for a given RFP the same. They don't necessarily need to be made public. They could be after the fact. I mean, I think that would be an analysis if after the RFP's closed, if someone submitted a grammar request, it may be a public document at that point.
Are they able to ask additional questions? Or do we
I think there's kind of a natural rhythm where questions arise as you're discussing, but there would be a standard HR kind of protection from lawsuits. But it wouldn't be restrictive in that sense.
All right. Do I understand correctly, Chris and Alan, that that policy is yet to be fully drafted, and we would revisit this perhaps next meeting?
This is my advice to the board as we engage in these next few RFPs. If down the road this board wants to adopt, for example, the procurement code, or adopt the procurement code of a municipality or county, and then tweak it to its needs, I think this will be a really informative process.
All
these
right.
first few.
So let me change that. So for the time being, is it your recommendation we simply use state purchasing? And their procedures.
Simply
we have
RFP. Yep, these courtesy services.
Okay, and they have all of that transparency and that rigor in place that will support us.
They do, and I'll be behind the scenes ensuring that we can use a transparent process.
Okay.
Chris.
Question.
I am not a legal mind, but I do have some experience with things that have happened with MITRE. And we've entered into a lot of agreements that we've gone through, and I can see the same thing happening down at the point of the mountain. We've been into a lot of discussions and agreements with everything from defense contractors to multinational corporations. They're looking at dealings with this organization. As we do, I think we're going to be asked to sign non-disclosure agreements to deal with some of those. Now, I don't see that within the next 2 years, but I certainly see it within the next 4 or 5 years, because this will blink on and off when we start to move people away from it. So I just, and we may, you know, you're gonna be our expert, it sounds like, and so just be aware that those things I think are going to come at us, and we're going to need ways to handle those things, because we can create a lot of issues for some of these companies if we handle the problem.
I think GOED's required me to become a state expert on this issue, non-disclosure agreements.
Well, there's no better example than what we've just gone through with the defense contract.
Yeah, that's right. And that would be kind of preliminary to an RFP, frankly. When you start negotiations, they require a non-disclosure agreement. Okay. I have templates for that, so I think we can handle it appropriately in compliance. That grandma is what's implicated on the NDA.
Thank you, Senator, and Chris, thanks for your help. For today, Alan and Chris, do you foresee us needing to take any action today?
No, I think what we should do is, with item number 10, I have a proposed motion for those RFPs that I feel would be appropriate for moving forward.
Very good. Any further questions or comments on this agenda item? Let's move on then. Alan, number 8.
And I will say that Vision Purchasing is very helpful. And they said no charge. They'll run the systems for us. They'll post them. They'll help review them. So that'll be useful. Number 8, again, this is for information, but I put together and sent to all of you this program of work. It's very much draft in your packet. I'm not seeking approval of that, because the nature of it is every time I look at it, I change something. And we know that the dates on there are mostly guidelines. I've just tried to capture the major tasks that we need to undertake as an organization in the next couple of years. And so I wanted to share this with you to give you a sense of what we need to do in different areas, get your input on things that I've missed, whether the timing's just way off. I know a lot of this is pretty aggressive timing, but why not be aggressive to start with? So,
we'll never have more time than we need today.
As I said, this is really just to share with you, give you a sense of some of my early thinking, and invite your input on what we're missing, and make sure that I'm staying on task.
Thank you. Questions, comments for Ellen on this task? This is a living, breathing document.
It's going to change regularly.
At least for now, provides this roadmap. Very good. All right, thank you, Alan. Item number 9, budget.
Let's talk about an efficient move. I wanted to talk about that program of work before getting to the budget, because obviously we have to know where we're heading to know what resources we're going to need and what's going to cost. I put this down as a discussion item rather than an action item, because if we revise the budget, we've got to go through the same process we went through in passing the original budget, which includes publishing it in the paper and having a time period for review, et cetera. And I didn't want to guess at some numbers without your input. So my thought is we ought to talk today a little bit about where we are on the budget, what I think we're going to need in the rest of this fiscal year, and see what your thoughts are. And I can go back and put together something formal that we can put through the formal budgeting process. So we've got budget. There's a copy in your packet. We have a carry forward of $294,500. We had expenditures for personnel, food, load, and travel, lease for office, $15,000, legal services, the insurance we talked about today, office furniture, supplies, and consulting, the total of $527,795.
Where are you seeing this? We're not seeing this.
Show the
form. You see.
Is it this one?
I'm not seeing
it. Is it? I guess I'm thinking of a different one there.
Okay. I guess we're looking at
this,
we're looking at last year. So there's got to be one. That's fine. I was only getting confused because I was looking at it. Listening to you is just fine.
Nice.
I can do copies, or I can try to find
what is
copy
talk,
and get it
talk
on
to us about.
So,
Chair,
question.
Lowry.
This is all, I'm sorry. Just as a reminder, this is all for discussion. Your question is important, but we're not going to be taking any action. The only reason I say that is when it comes time to take action, we'll want to have the documents in front of us.
So, what you're saying is we need an additional $400,000 to get us till the end of June?
I'm saying we need more than that.
Oh, well, that's because...
that's all?
That's because this funny paper I have in front of me.
I know, I'm sorry. This was last year's budget, and I thought that this year's would go in.
The important number to me is how much.
I know. That's what I was going to talk about.
Senator, get ready with your pencil.
I got it.
That's right.
I'm gonna write this down.
We'll see if I can get this off the screen. Maybe pull it up electronically. Well, let me talk through it. If we've got the board packet that was emailed out as an electronic copy.
There it is.
Okay,
oh,
so
it's the old one.
It's the old one, so it's
oh, it's because it's labeled FY 2020, but so you want that one.
Oh. Was it part of our packet?
Good luck.
If you want, we'll go print that off while I'm not an expert.
No, hold on. We should have
Apple TV,
shouldn't we?
John, what is the bottom line?
So, let me just I'll tell you quickly my thinking. As I go through, and I'll just describe it. We'll see if we can get a copy. Fortunately, I think I just lost.
Be able to get it on the big screen?
Yeah, this is working, and I just think you should just put that up there.
This is a really expensive system that never works. And I think it's, they've got bids out to improve it, but I don't think so. I'm going to go for this.
It
makes you feel any better. I had to give a presentation today to a whole lot of people at a big conference, and we already had great speakers, and everything worked great, including my technology before it started, until it was my turn.
Until it was your turn, how we've all been there.
20 minutes for them to get it. It was really, it was so bad.
Crazy.
It was so bad. So really, this is...
There we go. We've all been there.
Yeah, we have. So I apologize. Okay, I'm not going to touch it. That's hard to see, make it bigger.
Oh my gosh,
so, yeah, this is the document I was working from. We've
okay.
got, we had a carry forward of just under 300,000. If you look at the operating expenses, I don't see any change in personnel. I don't anticipate hiring anybody this year. That's, and by the way, when we talk workers' comp, usually workers' comp is included in that amount. They just put payroll taxes and everything in there. Travel, I think we stick with lease. If GOMB continues to be thoughtful in sharing their office space with me, I don't think we'll need that, so we'll take that out. Legal services. We had 10,000 in there for the using the Attorney General's office services. We think there may be, may not be able to be represented by the Attorney General's office and may need to get outside counsel, in which case that's going to cost more. And I'm conservatively suggesting that for regular advice, doing some documents, maybe an interlocal agreement with Draper and others. Again, this may be a little under, but 60,000 there. Insurance liability, pretty close. I think as we talked today, that'll be about 6,000. Office furniture and equipment, we can get rid of that. The supplies, I think we can go from 2,500 to 1,000. They're okay on the technical expenses, but the real expense comes in consulting services. And so that, I think, takes the form of really three groups, or three areas of expertise. The first is to help us answer the question, how do we maximize return to the state and minimize our risk? And we need a real estate analyst to kind of help think through the timing, generally, the longer you hold on to land, the more and more you develop it, the more you can make, but also the more risk involved. And so there are groups that do that kind of work. One in particular that did the work for the Development Commission and has much of that information already. But I assume that for the balance of the year, that would be about 150,000. The next would be communications, public involvement, getting the website done, public outreach plan, helping with messaging a little bit, some articles, and as I said, the detailed public involvement plan going forward, and estimating that at about 75,000, and then starting the design for this kind of next spring. What is it going to look like? This is a hard one to gauge because we've had proposals from, you know, coming up with a $1 million prize that we give to the best idea that comes in, to an RFP, to, you know, this and that. And so this could vary widely, but somewhere kind of in the middle for starting some detailed planning could be around $500,000. So with all of that together, that comes out to a total of $817,500. And now that's
on top of the $294 we had, or that's total operating expenses?
That's the total need that we would have if we went that direction for the year.
Gotcha.
And so we'd need to, total would be about 1.1 million, and the need, the difference would be 817,500. That's kind of stunning.
Yeah.
And so we can start cutting.
And you're saying that is what you need through June of 2020?
Yeah.
But then, I'm sure Jerry's thinking, what the legislature is going to have to do is appropriate not only to get us through June of 2020, but really through June of 2021.
Right.
In this coming legislative session.
And that's the thing we'll do next month, is talk about the need there. So one option is that we push off some of this work into the next fiscal year, or manage the consultant, so like on the design, instead of doing a big prize up front or something, we get somebody in that can start doing some work and reach out to the public and do something very conceptual. So I think this is a big policy decision. That's why I wanted to bring it to you before I really threw a lot of hard numbers down on paper and see how fast do we want to act, how much help do we need, and what's the timing that the legislature.
Let me just comment on this. First of all, this organization is squeaky clean. And I think that we probably should look. I don't know whether we're going to have another special session or not, but I would not be surprised to see that happen. If it does, then I think what we should do is ask for an appropriation and go through that in a special session.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And get it in place. And I think what that does is that keeps us squeaky clean. This money is going to have to come from someplace, and we're really spending unbudgeted money with what we're doing. So, I think what Alan's there, what we've done here is very reasonable, and it looks like we certainly don't want to sit back and take a breather on this. We're moving forward at a great rate, and it needs to happen. So, I don't know. We may need some help. Sometimes it's hard to get things on call lists and so forth if that happens.
Yeah.
And I don't know what your feeling is. I'm not making an announcement. I'm just seeing that we're seeing some things come to a conclusion that may cause us to have a special session again. If we do, then let's take care of this at the same time. We have to have the money is available. We have money left over from last year. And so I think we could, we could use one-time money on this for now, and then we'd certainly need to appropriate ongoing money in the next session. That's just my suggestion. I think that's important because uh, if our other authority in the state wants to blink on and off, we'll let them blink on and off. We don't have to.
Yeah, I agree. No, that's a great point. And I don't know that we could get the governor there to just for this, but if we have a special session.
No, this wouldn't be
a special session.
We can figure out how to make it work. If we have a special session, we need more than one bill to act on, and we need two or three generally so the houses can be efficient.
Yeah.
And so that would be my suggestion.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm thinking also, Alan, some of this, we may have the ability to phase some of it in. I would think that one of the most important preliminary issues is the market analysis. To some extent, that flows into design.
Yes.
And so connected. But I agree with you, Senator. If we could get something handled in a special session, because this all seems like it's a long way away, but it's really not. So we're talking about a completion of the new prison in what, 2022, or at least start moving. And we all know how quickly 2 years go. It's quickly. So any other discussion on Alan's proposal here, or his discussion about the needs for the next year?
This is April. I have a question. In our last year's budget, our large significant item was $75,000 on a land survey. Have we seen the results of that come in? Do we know that it's sufficient? Make sure we don't need to order any extra work. And at what point can we look at that so we can really see what kind of easements or encumbrances or what we have on this land?
Yeah, Jim Russell gave me a copy of the survey that was done for them. I'm happy to send that out to the board. It's
I think it'd be nice to see if we have recorded easements, encumbrances, wetlands, anything that could possibly change or affect what we believe there is really to work with there, because then that will affect if that survey needs to be a little bit expanded or not, and there's got to be a little bit more money go into it, or if we can go straight to some other consultants to try to start getting some ideas. And I also don't want to discount the fact that Draper spent some time doing some beautiful designs. That may not be something that we use going forward, but I think we need to get as much input as possible before we start getting competitive bids from other groups.
Further discussion? Mayor?
I just wanted to add, maybe even more important than the market analysis, or hand in hand with it, I think we got to look at the transportation infrastructure needs straight up. My worry is that that's really going to be where most of the money's going to go at the beginning of this project. So I don't know what that means. Maybe we get our MPOs on board and really start to nail down. So I think they would certainly be willing to help us with maybe some preliminary understanding. You probably have to get somebody to design it, but I almost think we're at that point where we got to know sort of what the infrastructure is going to be in order to be able to tell what you're going to do. We certainly need to get, it takes a long time to get transit and things like that moving and get the EISs done and get it figured out. So I think we might be a little bit behind on that. So I was hopeful maybe that would be one of the first things we appropriated some of our money for, was to analyze that and start that train, if you don't mind the pun.
Train.
I agree with that. This is April. I mean, the reality is, in 2019 right now, as a real estate person, if I was doing that, a market analysis, there is no market. There's a prison there. And there's thousands of prisoners there. So you're talking about a market analysis possibly in 2021 or 22, compared to if you held it till 2025 or 2028. And those are all future projections. So we're too early to do something like that. Right now, the more important thing is, what is there going to be once the prison is? What kind of encumbrances, what kind of easement is and then, of course, transportation. So I think we're too early to do some type of market needs or assessment because we don't have anything yet today.
Further discussion?
Just a comment. UDOT, I think in some of our earlier meetings, UDOT has moved forward with this at their own expense, and I think they've looked at some of the major delivery points. Of course, those can change with whatever construction we come up with, but they've done a considerable amount of work on this. I know we discussed it in some of our earlier meetings.
They have, and part of what they undertook, they were working on, we need to find out, is on the alternative analysis, the AA that was funded.
Well, I'm primarily talking about the transit side of it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because I think that's, I know UDOT's got some ideas where roads can go, but we certainly can't accomplish this mission with roads only, and probably not even with roads, if it's going to be livable and usable. But, you know, UTA is in a position where they really can't project, you know, they can't go build infrastructure. What I'm thinking is we're going to need, maybe this board's going to have to outline, this is what we need, and we're going to figure out some way to bring two entities together, three, including the state government, and make it work. That's all.
Great. And I agree with you, but I do think, Alan, we need to find out where we are on that alternative analysis.
No, I absolutely agree, and that's why in my introductory remarks I said that after organizational stability, my number one priority was transportation. Because I agree, that's the framework around which this is built. And the alternatives analysis process started a couple of weeks ago. They had the first meeting. They've shared some of the documents with me. They've told me that I'll be involved in all of those meetings and conversations. But that's not scheduled to be done until probably next summer, May or June. So we're going to try to push that along. But I couldn't agree more. I think much of the time is going to be spent in transportation meetings, and the question is whether we need a transportation consultant as part of that process, or if we just work with our transportation agencies.
You haven't built anything in here specifically for traffic consultant.
Correct.
Into your budget.
No, I appreciate what you're saying, because I think, and we all agree that this is going to drive it, but I think driving it in ways that we're not used to, and thinking long-term and big picture about what that means in the future of transportation, and not just doing it the way we've always done it with walkable communities, keeping cars maybe even completely out of this space is a real thing that we need to consider.
One of my concerns, I have lots of them always, but one of them on this side is the potential is so amazing, but we really need to know what it's going to cost to make the transportation work, because at that point, you know, everyone might say, well, you know, we don't want to do it, or we don't want to pay for it. We just need to know what it's going to cost to be able to do what we think we can do. And I hope the car is not king in this place, because I think if it is, then we really don't. We're not going to do anything different. So, but I don't know what that means. I'm a lawyer, not a transportation engineer. So, but I know that we have the clean slate to do an amazing thing. So, I think maybe a consultant might be something you get on board to work with our MPOs to help you. If that helps you, I don't know.
Any further discussion? Alan, do you feel like you have what you need on that?
I do, and I'd propose that maybe I kind of work with some of you to put together a proposal for the budget revision and present that at the next meeting.
Yeah, you're good.
I would just suggest we do that sooner than later. Just, and then again, I'm going on a maybe here, and there's, or others would have maybe better ideas than that, but I think we need to do that very quickly.
Our next meeting is in 2 weeks, right?
What we need to agree to is kind of resist the amount we want to take a look at to move forward. I think it seems like it's adequate.
So, Senator, would you, when Alan talks about working with a few of you, would you help him with that? And I think what we're really talking about is keeping an eye on whether we need to do something and whether it's going to be a special session.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you okay with that, Alan?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go on to the next item. This is also set for discussion. Discuss broad sweeping objectives and metrics designed to capture progress.
This one, well, we've got number 10 that I think we sort of touched.
Oh, did I pass? I didn't mean to. I looked like we talked about it.
Well, we kind of did. And I guess maybe on that one, the question I think is, do we want to provide authorization for some of these categories now, or do we want to wait until we get a specific budget
sure.
in place?
Yeah, let's wait for I think with our meeting schedule, we'll be having a meeting right around the corner. I mean, this is in October, and your thinking is, like mine, that we should hold that and go forward. So we're only talking about a short time. So
I think that makes
sense. Let's put that one back on if that's okay.
I think that makes sense. Number 11 here is, I guess I put this down primarily. One, because I think it makes some sense for us as a board to think about starting with the end in mind. What are we trying to accomplish and what would we consider to be success? And secondly, I had a conversation with GOMB last week about budget. They're very supportive, by the way, of this organization and what we're trying to do, and said that they'd do what they could to get adequate budget for next year. But in preparing for fiscal year 2021 budget, they want some measures, so they're not going to put us through the rigor of every agency, but want some measures of success, measures of progress. And so I thought, if there's time, and I don't know if there is now, but we could have a little discussion and get some input from board members on what constitutes success. What are we trying to achieve here? And are there things against we would measure that success?
Discussion.
And I just say, maybe to speed things up, obviously we can just say the statute outlines what we're going to accomplish, and if we measure it against what's in the statute, then that's a pretty good head start. We got some public input with the part of the Mountain Development Commission that identified things they'd like to see. We can use that.
Discussion. There's broad sweeping discussion item potentially. Any comments that we can use right now on that, or let me just ask you, Alan, is that something we should set for even a special meeting?
I think it'd be worth having some more time for it. And as I said, most of all, I just wanted to kind of tee up the thinking here for all of us and get away from the details of policies and think big for a while.
Well, I think that the article that was referenced, this fellow who was commenting in the article had some great, you know, visionary things to consider. You know, when he talks about nobody else has anything like this. This is once in a lifetime. This is, you know, what were some of those quotes, Alan, that he, and who is this fellow referenced? Go back to referencing.
Yeah, he was a representative of HOK Architects, which was part of the consulting team that Envision Utah put together to do the work for the region, mm-hmm. the region for the Development Commission.
And in our meetings, the Development Commission, they attended and testified, and they that was their theme over and over again with respect to this project, this property, and they're excited about it. And side by side was also some real estate professionals that had some projections, and some of those were indicated in that article as well. But I think Alan makes, maybe I'm saying too much, but I think he makes a good point that it would be good for us to have a discussion about not just where we're going, but how do we know when we've arrived or partially arrived there. And as I said, it's a really important discussion, but it may be more than what we can delve into today. But I don't want to cut things off.
I'd suggest maybe a facilitator to guide that discussion. Someone who, you know, I don't know, this fellow or somebody else that would facilitate a, you know, have kind of a grasp of it more than just a brainstorming session with among the board, which would be good, but I would think a consultant type facilitator maybe. Don't think about that.
Other discussion comments? Alan, would you be okay if we move on?
Absolutely.
All right. Next item is transportation issue. Mayor Walker, number 12. Further discussion on that, Alan?
You know, I don't know that we need to talk a lot more about it. I know going into these conversations with the transportation agencies, with the Development Commission and others, I guess I'm seeking a little guidance on where we take our shots. What are the top priorities? And I think we've got priorities for regional transportation and for transportation on the site. And I'd suggest that transit is probably first. We've got to get that done. There are a couple of key potential road projects through that site. Sixth West stubs into the prison site and then dead ends. But that would carry through and go to Porter Rockwell on the other side. And there's a proposal for a north-south boulevard that would go from roughly Bangor down to 21st North in Lehigh. Take some pressure off of I-15. Now that's something that I think deserves some attention. And then regionally is Mountain View Corridor. Without that, we just are loading up I-15 pretty significantly. And so as we move forward, I want to make sure that we have conversations on transportation and that I'm not going out and advocating for projects that are contrary to what this board would like to see.
How close has Carlos been working with you?
Carlos has been great. We've had some meetings. He's actually assigned one of the senior staff to be a direct liaison with this board to work on our issues.
Further discussion? I'm going to say this. I do think that it's important that that this board and our work, and particularly this project, this property, doesn't get lost in the mix of transportation generally. I'm not suggesting that our state agencies won't be looking out for this, but I think we need to make a concerted effort to make certain that the needs of this project are being met, especially with transportation, with everything else, but especially with transportation. I think that's what you were saying too, Mayor. And so I'm hoping in the discussion about budget, I would recommend that consideration be given to having our own transportation folks help us with that issue. The transportation piece has to fit with everything else. It's, you know, all of the development. You can't just say I'm going to develop the property and put buildings and everything on it without figuring out the transportation. It's an integral part. And having someone wear your hat, looking out for the interests of that property independent of what's happening statewide, not that it doesn't have to be a part of it, of course it will be, but I think that's something we should give some thought to. So if I've said too much, then I apologize, but I just think that's important. Any other comments, questions, discussion?
We're using transportation projects that generally are in the millions, even high millions.
Yeah.
This will not be that. This may be more than, it'll be in the billions.
I think
you're looking at it.
Yeah.
It's a big deal, and that may include ways to finance and everything else. It's very complicated, but you're right. We have to start out with what we're asking other people to do and making the connections to it. So
that's a really good point. It'll be centered in a certain area, but it will have an impact on the entire state. And so when we start to look at that kind of expenditure, we have to recognize that it's not just about this project. It potentially has impact on the
If we do it wrong, it won't just impact the state, it'll impact everything from the Canadian to the Mexican border.
This project cannot succeed if we get transportation wrong, in the eyes of the public. We can do some amazing things on
everything right.
If we mess up transportation, it will be viewed as a failure.
Okay, any other comments? Thank you. And Alan, if I'm moving too quickly.
Not at all.
Okay. Let's go down to the Draper prison site visit.
Well, many of you had expressed interest in doing a tour of the site to actually see what we're dealing with, and I'd like to help accommodate that if we can. I've talked to the Department of Corrections, and they'd love to host us at some point. So I thought we'd at least see if there was trying to find a time when this group can go. That's a challenge, but if there were a time that would work, I'd do everything I can to.
Second meetings out there.
Second Tuesdays are good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Everyone should go once. Not to prison, but to visit. It'll keep you from going once to prison if you go.
I got scared straight. I changed my ways.
Here we're looking at this, you know, the acreage here, right? Not the building, which will be torn down by the time we get there, right?
Right.
And in fact, I believe, I understand the correction building part is only a part of this entire acreage.
It would be valuable to go look at even the buildings, because I think there's some historic preservation interests that we would have maybe on one or two structures or something that might incorporate, because the locking mechanism in the old building, there's only the only other one in the world is Alcatraz, so it's interesting. It's a cool, as far as prisons go, I mean, don't get me wrong.
But, repurpose that as an office. You just be like, step into my cell.
Yeah, that's the thing. You put a tech company in there, people can take selfies.
We can turn it over to tourism. They make movies out there.
We
could leave the toilets.
It is a good one. The current existing.
That's worth seeing. I did meet with the Historical Preservation Commission in Draper.
They're very excited about preservation, which, you know.
I think there are probably some things you could add a cool.
The Historical Preservation Society is as passionate as ours.
We started the prison relocation process. I don't know how many times we went out there, but there were several. And I would hope that a lot of the people I got to know on a first name basis have moved on.
I hope so too.
Well, we could do a doodle poll, or we could schedule it during one of our upcoming meetings.
Okay. I think everyone's in favor of that?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Absolutely. Good.
I would be in favor of a doodle poll just because it might be easier to get together during one of our meetings, but we have a lot to cover during our meetings. So maybe a doodle poll to see if there's a time that's outside our regular meeting time that we could pull it together. And then if not, then we know our meeting time.
There's an outstanding lunch opportunity at the Doing Time Cafe. They make great food.
They do.
I'm serious. It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Doing Time Cafe.
Serving time.
I'm sorry.
But it's cheap enough that it would fit within our budget.
I think Mark,
they got this group?
It's good food.
Alan's going to help work on that.
We'll figure out a time.
Okay. Number 14.
I think we can skip that. We had the graphic designer at GoEd was going to put together some mock-up logos, but she's had some health problems and hasn't been able to do it.
All right. Let's drop down to the next one now.
Then I put in your packet a copy of just a communications plan or rough outline. I'm not a professional. We need to get some in, but I want to make sure that we're communicating the right messages to the right people in the right way. And so I'm sharing that with you for your information. And if anybody has comments or additions or changes, I'd welcome them.
Okay, that brings us near the end of our agenda. I asked the Lieutenant Governor.
One more thing, Alan, for this work. This is a lot to digest for all of us, and it's going to lead to more discussion down the road. But I couldn't feel better about where we are and the direction we're headed. I want to appreciate our legislative leadership here, all of you, for your help. Obviously, that's going to play a huge role in making all of this come together. But I just hope we step back and appreciate how cool it is that we get a chance to shape the future of Utah in a very, very memorable way. At least I hope so. We will have failed if it's not. If there's not something special for our kids to talk about. I've said this before. My only concern with this project is we think too small. And we think the way things have always been done, and I want to make sure that we work hard to break those chains. That's where Mayor Walker, you thought about Carl, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I'm really worried about cars in this place. I think the future of our country, our state, is not going to be the cars kingdom, but that's the type of forward thinking that we need with this group. So, so glad to have Alan on board. And we didn't spend much time on his proposed schedule on work moving forward, but I would encourage you to take a look at that. It is very aggressive. We want to be aggressive. That's important for us. And I think that's the expectation that we have, and the expectation that the citizenry has, that when that prison goes down, something great is starting to move in, and we need a lot of work. We have a lot to go. So let's focus on that aggressive nature, and we'll keep the meetings going. If one of us can't be here, that's okay. We can keep things moving along. So thank you.
Thank you all for being here, and thanks for your dedication and your input into this meeting. It's important, and it is a big deal. The chair will entertain a final motion.
Motion to adjourn by Val. It's not debatable. All in favor say aye.
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 Is there like a state rule against caffeine in the beverages, or is there?
Yes,
there is.
All the caffeine is in the legislative branch.
Yeah, but the legislative branch has all of the caffeine. They've ordered the market.
I see.
Well, Mayor, if you get here a little early next time, I will take you up and show you where the
fountains
are. Thank you.
These great fountains.
What's that?
Can we have a field
Red Bull's prohibited.
And they have the best
field trip.
They have the best ice, too. It's that pebble ice. One of the hardest things about coming to work for the infants. Well, you know, that's one of the hardest things about coming to work down here instead of working for you guys.
I think he's a good guy, from what I know.
I don't know.
We have a really good friend that has all kinds of things for you. She's had all kinds of things.